Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Go Bucks!
Thank you, Pete. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday morning. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's head down to Tampa. We told you we would, and now we are. Tom Krasnicki, WDAE 95.3 down in Tampa. It is good to do sports talk radio down there. Things are rolling right along, and Tom joins us. How you doing?
You better believe it. Doing great. How are you guys?
Man, you guys got plenty to talk about, whether it's the Lightning winning the Cup, the start of the Bucs season, and now they've acquired Antonio Brown. And, oh, by the way, the Rays just happened to be playing in Game 6 of the World Series tonight. What is the market like right now? What are people like as sports fans? I have to believe this is as good as it's ever been.
I'm telling you, man. Other than that, there's nothing really happening here. All is quiet on the western southeastern front. But yeah,
right.
this town is going pretty crazy right about now. And you know, it all started with the Lightning and the great run that they had from the bubble environment. I just want to say, guys, that I know there are a lot of opinions out there, but I think any team that wins a championship under these adverse conditions and circumstances deserves a lot of credit. There's not going to be any asterisk from me, nor should they be from anybody else, because being bubbled up and having the structure and discipline to have to go through the road that the Lightning went through, what the Rays are going through, what the Lakers are going through, I think those teams should be given a lot of credit for getting to the mountaintop.
What's interesting is we made our picks every round, and it was pretty clear that I was, you know, even though I've been burned by the Lightning over the years, like a lot of people, right, picking them, they look like the best team, and they have had their failures, as we know, in the playoffs, especially last year, that I started referencing I was going to pick them because I saw a lot of what Virginia did. And not knowing, Tom, the storyline, I had no clue. And I just thought, you know, Virginia, number one seed, went into the college basketball NCAA tournament. They get upset by a 16 seed. That had never happened before. Wow, what a failure that must have been like. But how did they respond? They came back the next year and they cut down the nets. And I said, I just kind of feel like that's what Tampa's going to do. They're going to use that as motivation, like Virginia. They've been mocked. People have, you know, been shaking their head going, how can a team that had an historic regular season like that go out in four in the first round? They're going to use that as motivation. And not knowing the storyline until I watched John Cooper do SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt, and I see him with the Virginia Cavaliers basketball hat on, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then he tells the story. Did you guys know about that they were kind of secretly using Virginia as kind of a reference point behind the scenes? Was that a well-documented story down there?
Well, after the fact, when John told everybody on SportsCenter, that's when we knew, when he mentioned it, because they kept that thing under wraps, and they absolutely used it as motivation. UMBC was a 16 seed. They beat Virginia. Virginia was embarrassed. The Lightning were beaten by the Columbus Blue Jackets. They were swept four straight. The Lightning were embarrassed, and they had to carry that weight through them for about 15, 16 months until they can see Columbus again in the playoffs, and they took care of business. And I think once the Capitals went out, and obviously Pittsburgh was eliminated by Montreal, then I think the road started to open up for the Lightning there a little bit. Once I saw the Capitals go out, because the Capitals gave the Lightning all kinds of trouble, I felt really confident that the Lightning would go all the way and win the Stanley Cup, and boy, did they ever.
Obviously, this season didn't go the way the Predators wanted to go, and they've been keeping their roster intact. Well, that is not the case this offseason. They have decided to shuffle a lot of things around, and it is going to be a different roster next year. Tampa decided to do that a little bit in their offseason. So what, in your mind, what was the one or two pieces that changed that roster, that mentality in the room, and pushed them over the top again?
I think after the Columbus series, guys, Julien Brisebois took a look at his roster. He said, look, we're not tough enough. We're not physical enough. We don't have a guy in this locker room who has been there and done that to bring us over the mountaintop. So he went out. He got Patrick Maroon for dirt cheap. He had just won a Stanley Cup with St. Louis, and he came in, and he provided that experience that championship pedigree, the guy who's been there, done that. And from the moment he walked into the locker room, guys, he became one of those leaders. And then at the trade deadline, he went out and he rolled the dice. He gave up multiple first-round picks. He gave up Nolan Foote, who was a pretty good prospect in the Lightning organization, and he made two trades. He got Blake Coleman, and they got Barkley Goodrow, two tenacious, physical type of guys. And between those three guys, I think between Maroon and Goodrow and Coleman, I think those three guys were just as integral as some of the superstars, the Hedmans and the Points and the Kucherovs and of this world and the Vasilevskis of this world. Then you saw Steven Stamkos for the most memorable 2 minutes and 47 seconds of his life in that one Stanley Cup playoff game against Dallas where he scored and then he didn't play again. But I think the toughness, the tenacious attitude of those three guys in particular really put the Lightning over the top.
That's me clearing my throat, guys. We'll talk about that, what Tom just said, a little bit later. So when you think about the markets, this will be the last thing on my end. A lot of people have made the comparisons of the Lightning, just kind of the atmosphere down there, you know, in Tampa, the atmosphere in Nashville, the fan bases. You know, what kind of atmosphere, what kind of market is Tampa for the Lightning?
I think it's become a great market, and I think it starts right at the top. When Jeffrey Binnick bought this team, he said he wanted to turn this into a title town or a hockey town, and I think it's all of that and a whole lot more. And the smartest thing he did after he bought the team is he started picking the brains of a lot of people, including Hall of Famer Scotty Bowman. He said, listen, I need somebody who can run this hockey enterprise, because he didn't want to be one of those hands-on type of owners. He wanted to hire a hockey person to run the show, and he would just fade off in the background. Let me know if you need anything, but it's your show. And then to a man, everyone told him Steve Yzerman's your guy. So that was the smartest thing Jeffrey Binnick did. He went out, got Steve Yzerman. Steve Yzerman made a number of unbelievable trades, and he put this team together before he went back home to Detroit. And then he handed the reins off to Julien Brisebois, who was his assistant GM. And Brisebois, kind of like, you know, Luke Skywalker learning from Obi-Wan Kenobi, picked up a couple of pointers, and he made those moves I just talked about, which put the Lightning over the top. So that's where it all starts, guys. It starts with ownership, and it kind of trickles its way down through the organization. That's why the Lightning are a well-run organization, one of the best, I think, in all of sports.
Tom Krasnicki is our guest. Imagine what it's like down in Tampa, WDAE Radio. Championship for the Lightning. The Rays, two games from a championship, playing Game 6 tonight, and the Buccaneers really coming on as one of the biggest showcase teams in the league right now. So, Tom, I'm just curious at how you plan your show every day as this has gone. You know, we had nothing to talk about for 3 months, no sports, and then all of a sudden you've got all these things going on, and all three teams are on fire down there. Who dominates the talk in your area right now?
Well, right now, it's certainly the Rays. I mean, it is a football town, guys, so the Buccaneers obviously have gotten a lot of pub ever since Tom Brady agreed to come here back in March. This town has been upside down with Bucs talk and people flooding the Bucs, trying to get tickets, obviously. There's only a limited number of fans that are being allowed in games, but it is certainly a hot ticket here. Tom Brady has completely changed the fortunes of the Buccaneer franchise, and you know, the Rays, based on their 40-20 regular season, they got everyone all excited. They beat the Yankees, which a lot of people around here who don't like Northerners, obviously, were very happy to see the big bad Yankees go down to the small market, shoestring budget Rays team. And, you know, the Rays started to gain a lot of momentum there, and they held off the Astros. Now they're in the World Series. So I think in terms of our show, the Rays have been kind of the top lead this week until this baseball season ends, which hopefully doesn't come until after tomorrow night. And then after that, guys, it's going to be Buccaneers 24-7 all the way, hopefully through February, where the Super Bowl is here. And the Buccaneers are going to try and buck that trend and become the first team to play the Super Bowl in their own backyard, which would be an unbelievable set of circumstances if that plays out.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to leave the Bucs questions to Chase. I just have one more on the Rays, Tom, is you know, I know down there it's been an issue for a long time trying to figure out a way to build a new park to where then all of a sudden they can have some revenue streams to go with the brilliant team crafting that they've already done there. What does this do for that movement? Do you think they're closer, or is that something that is still a ways off? Let's see if they win the World Series first.
I think it's a ways off, guys, because it comes down to money and how much money will the taxpayers, you know, stand to lose or stand to, you know, willing to sacrifice in order to build a stadium here. And I don't think that's a conversation that people here want to have. And, you know, you're talking about $1 billion plus. I don't know where you're going to find that type of money. And Stu Sternberg has made it adamant that he doesn't think baseball is going to last here in Tampa Bay full time. So he's looking around. Now he's come up with this split season deal with Montreal, guys, which I don't believe is viable in the long run. I don't think officials in the city of St. Pete, where the Rays are currently situated, are going to buy that either. Now, Stu had some conversations with the people over in Hillsborough County where Tampa resides, and they thought they had a deal down there in the downtown Ybor district where it meets the downtown area, and they thought they had a great idea for a stadium, but it fell through because of the finances. So I'm concerned. I think a lot of people are concerned about the future of the Rays. The lease at the Trop is up in 2027. I don't believe they will be here when that lease does expire, and it's going to open up, you know, a number of questions about where they're going to be. And guys, you know, I hear Nashville is looking for a baseball team, and I would certainly not count them out.
Tom Krasnicki is here with us from WDAE in Tampa, talking about everything going on in their town. So what's the Antonio Brown conversation been like over the last few days now that he is going to reunite with Tom Brady? I guess they're best buds after their handful of games, if you want to even call it that, in New England last season. But obviously an incentive-laden contract, but you're just adding him to the weapons that are already there with the Bucs.
It's a hot topic of conversation, guys. And, you know, a lot of fans don't like the idea because of Antonio Brown's recent pass. And honestly, I'm with them. I don't understand this move from a Bucs perspective. You have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, two Pro Bowl receivers, two guys who are arguably two of the top 10 receivers in all of football. And Scotty Miller is another young guy whom Tom Brady likes throwing to. The injury to O.J. Howard has a lot to do with what happened. And the injuries late last year, guys, they lost Evans and Godwin right at the end of the season, and that caused the Buccaneers to fall off, lose their last two games, and then Jameis Winston kind of got run out of town after that. And I think that stuck in the heads of Bruce Arians and Jason Light, but there's no question. No matter what Bruce Arians says, Tom Brady, and I've heard this going back months, was the driving force behind this. He wants Antonio Brown here. Tom Brady's obsessed with winning. And he's looking at this Buccaneer offense, and it's very good right now. He thinks it could be great with Antonio Brown and Evans and Godwin on the field at the same time in those three receiver sets, and to provide the kind of mismatches that Brady craves and wants to see. So I think the offense is clicking. They believe that in a short window that Tom Brady's here, Antonio Brown could help make this offense completely unstoppable, provided that he stays on his best behavior, which I don't think is a given.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anybody could think that. How has the relationship between Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, you know, evolved over the last few weeks of the season, as if they've kind of gotten comfortable with each other?
Yes, for sure. And I think Bruce Arians learned his lesson, guys, after the Saints game where Brady threw a couple interceptions, and there was that one interception where he's trying to target Mike Evans, and it was intercepted. And Evans and Brady didn't see the same coverage. And Bruce Arians came on after the game, well, that was totally on Tom Brady. It was Tom Brady's fault. When, in fact, it wasn't his fault. When they went back to watch the film, and Evans admitted it was his fault. And, of course, Brady did not take too kindly to that. And I think Arians learned his lesson that, hey, I may have been able to criticize Jameis Winston last year, but this isn't Jameis Winston. This is Tom Brady. This is the GOAT. No one's ever done it better than him. So I think Bruce kind of learned his lesson there, and I think that's why he stepped up for Tom the other day and said, listen, Tom had nothing to do with Antonio Brown coming here. This is my call. This is general manager Jason Light's call. When everybody knows, Tom Brady was the guy doing it. So I think he's become really comfortable in the offense, guys. You saw what they did to the Raiders on Sunday. It was four touchdown passes and a fifth touchdown via the quarterback sneak. They're only going to get better as he becomes more comfortable with the weapons around him. And now he's got Antonio Brown walking in here next week, and they have a little bit of a rapport between each other. And I think they've been talking to each other quite a bit over the last few months. And now with that guy entered into the mix, it's going to make this offense really tough to stop.
You bring up Jason Light, and I can remember him a few years ago on Hard Knocks, and our afternoon show host Floyd Reese knows him quite well from their time together in New England. It did seem like there was a time where maybe his seat was warm. Obviously, he made the coaching change to Bruce Arians. He signed Tom Brady, so I would say things are good. But what has that whole journey been like with him since he's been the general manager of the Bucs?
It's been up and down, guys. And look, every general manager is not going to have every move work out in his favor, right? I mean, there are two things that are going to perhaps put a little bit of a stain on his resume. One is taking a quarterback, number one overall, and having that guy not see a second contract. There are very few GMs in this league who can survive that. And Jason did when Jameis Winston didn't work out. And then there was the whole issue with the kicking situation. They traded up in the second round to get Roberto Aguayo, who lasted 1 year and was a colossal disappointment. And then he used another pick on Matt Gay, kicker, a couple of years ago, and he didn't make it. So those are the two things you can fault Jason on. But I'll tell you guys, he's made a number of really, really good moves, and his drafts have been really good the last couple of years, producing guys like Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean and Devin White from last year, and Vita Vea, whom unfortunately is injured right now and is out for the season. He's become one of the best interior linemen in football. And his draft this year, guys, his first two picks, he knocked it out of the park. Tristan Wirfs looks like a tremendous right tackle. And Antoine Winfield is a high-impact defensive back who just got his first interception on Sunday. So I think there's a lot more good than bad when it comes to Jason Light and his resume.
Well, it's going to be a fun thing to watch the rest of the season for the Bucs. And, of course, see what happens with the Rays tonight and possibly tomorrow. Tom, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Stay safe.
Tom Kresnicki, WDAE 95.3 in Tampa, talking about everything going on in their market. We'll get into Antonio Brown a little bit more. Plus, there is a corner that's on the market that could be a fit for the Titans. But first, Darren, you have a word about DraftKings.
I do. DraftKings is live right here in our state, right here in Tennessee with mobile sports betting. Yes, DraftKings. You may know them as the leading daily fantasy brand, but they have taken their passion for sports and developed America's top-rated sportsbook app. I know this isn't some offshore operation like other gambling sites. DraftKings is a legit sportsbook right here in the U.S. DraftKings sportsbook app. You can bet from wherever, whenever. You don't even have to leave your house. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code 1025GAME. When you sign up for a limited time, all new users can get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. That code again, 1025GAME, and get your deposit bonus up to $1,000 only on DraftKings Sportsbook app. Must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.